views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and boy, I got to tell you today, it's an exciting day for Straight Talk Radio because I get to interview a hero of mine. Now, I have to say this from a very practical perspective. Whenever you do a radio show and you have the opportunity to talk with people around the country, there's lots and lots of folks that you want to get on the show, and from time to time, you sit back and think, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get him. And so 2 weeks or so ago, I guess it's been about 2 weeks now, I'm in Washington, D.C. at the National Speakers Association convention. And one of the highlights of that convention is the recognition of very, very special people into the Speakers Hall of Fame. And for those of us, the 1,800 or so people that had all gathered in Washington, D.C., we don't know who that's going to be. But we know that when that selection is made, it's someone that's made an incredible contribution and someone that we can look up to. And so typically there are four or so folks that are inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. And so for the past couple of years, kind of on the periphery, I have known about my next guest. When I say on the periphery, let's put it this way. His speaking level is here, and I just aspire to get to that point. But then again, he also has a little height on me as well. So in any event, today my guest is Walter Bond. Walter is a former NBA player, but also a peak performance expert. For nearly 20 years after his career in the NBA, he has taken what he has learned and literally across companies in this country and outside has led people to understand how to get out of their own way and how to work together and how to really achieve their own potential peak performance. So as I said, my guest is Walter Bond, but I have to also say Walter was also inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. And there aren't many professional speakers in the world that have been inducted to that. So Walter, as you join me on the show via Skype here, I want to say congratulations. That is well-earned, well-deserved, and could not go to a better person.
You know, Chuck, thank you. And we're still on cloud nine. We're honored. And, you know, one of the things I learned through my basketball career, even though I made it to the NBA, you know, I made some mistakes, you know, and I got a chance to be around some great athletes, you know, the Karl Malones of the world, John Stockton. I played with the Hall of Fame coach and Jerry Sloan. And, you know, the thing about the NBA, you're so young, you know, you're 20, you're 21. And a lot of fans are really hard on athletes. But if they really look at their own kids, you know, what would your kid do with $30 million at 19 or 20 and 21? And so when you make it personal, you know, a lot of parents and just general people in public never look at it that way. And they say to themselves, like, wow, I'd be scared to death for my 19-year-old or my 20-year-old to get $30 million and have a chance to live that type of lifestyle. So it's a very stressful life. you're pursuing something that's a global industry at a young age. So long story short, even though I made it, I mean, I regret some of the decisions I made through my basketball career. I look back at it and I realize I could have done things totally differently. The good thing is I got a second chance in this motivational speaking business, and we made all the corrections. We learned from our mistakes. And one of the biggest things I teach professionals, you know, a large part of our society lives day to day, check to check. And, you know, we call them the have-nots. They're just surviving. The average person who's functional and doing moderately well live year to year. But what I learned through my basketball career and what I teach in my coaching programs to entrepreneurs, business leaders, executives, is that we can't live day to day. We shouldn't even live year to year. We must live decade to decade. And so I was honored to be inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. But that was a vision we had 10 years ago. And last Tuesday night in D.C. in front of my peers was merely the culmination of the vision we had 10 years ago. And so we try and teach people to live decade to decade. In my NBA career, I didn't. I lived day to day, you know, and that was a mistake. And I've been able to correct that mistake in my new life.
You know, Walter, I want to say to you, I really appreciate you starting that way, because I think there's something incredibly powerful, and that is the concept of having a vision for yourself, of looking out and saying, all right, here I am, and I want to be at a certain place in my life. And in order to be there, you have to see it. You have to intend it. And, you know, some people might say it's egotistical. I think it's just brilliant planning to say, okay, you know what? If I'm going to be in this profession, whatever the profession may be, here's where I want to be. And I know I have to take the steps, but eventually I'll achieve that. And that's what you did this past week. And it was a wonderful acceptance speech. But the interesting part about it is probably very few people in the room really recognize the intention that you had 10 years ago or better in saying, someday I'm going to be in the Speakers Hall of Fame.
And Chuck, you're exactly right. And the one good thing about being a former professional athlete, you know, we learned how to study game film. And so in college, we watched a lot of game film, even in high school. You know, I played on a top high school basketball team. So in the NBA, we watched game film. So we learned how to dissect game film and understand the opponent, understand how to defeat the opponent, understand how to win. So when I joined the Speakers Association, the first thing I did is ask, who are the superstars in this industry? You know, who are the Michael Jordans, the Charles Barkleys, the Magic Johnsons? Because as an NBA athlete, everyone knows the star basketball players. It's easy. So when I got in the speaking business, I needed to know who are the stars of the industry. I called around speakers bureaus, other speakers, and I found out the top speakers, you know, the Zig Ziglars, the Les Browns of the world, the Tom Hopkins. And I went and got video. You know, I had, you know, bureaus blew me off in the beginning. They knew I was a nice guy. I think they appreciated my humility. And I was a former NBA player who was humble. And I think they appreciated that. And I asked them, hey, can you do me a favor and send me what you consider the top five speakers, the top 10 speakers? And this is back when bureaus had a plethora of VHS tapes. And I would get all these tapes and I would go down to my office and I would sit there and watch game film. You know, I would watch Les Brown, you know, do his thing. I would watch Zig Ziglar, and sometimes it was just cassettes and you could just listen. And I was able to dissect game film and really determine, even though all these speakers are different, that's one thing about the NBA. You've never had two identical players. You know, you have players that remind you of other players, but everyone expresses their basketball ability almost like a ballet artist differently. Michael Jordan is different than LeBron James. Have some similarities, but they're totally different. They're totally unique. So I didn't want to copycat other speakers, but I needed to know what made these particular speakers superstars. And once I kind of got the secret formula, we built our business based on what we learned from dissecting game film and what made these star speakers great. And we focused on that. We got laser-like focus on what star speakers did. And 14 years later, I got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so that's one of the things that I teach entrepreneurs. Pay attention to your industry. Who are the stars and what are they doing right? And once you understand what somebody's doing right in your industry, your job is to go out and simply not duplicate it, but in your own way, express those fundamentals the same exact way.
You know, the interesting part to that is, and you said this just a second ago, it doesn't make any difference what the industry is. It's applying the principle. And you may not know this because, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to talk at some of the meetings that have taken place. But in my background, some of which you said you made mistakes, I did too. Mine took me to federal prison back in the mid-90s, not something I'm particularly proud of. But one of the things that happened as a result of that is when I got out, I recognized if I want that second chance, I've got to, number one, I got to be willing to do what other people aren't willing to do, because not everybody's going to give me that chance. And secondarily, I need to be really doggone good at it. So to understand, to dissect, to look at what other people do, to find out who the best in the industry is and emulate that with your own style and become the best is what's taken you to where you are. And I applaud you not only for achieving that, but for being willing still on a humble basis to help other people see, okay, how do I apply that in my life?
And, you know, the one thing that I've been doing in the last year, which was intentional, you know, I've been a keynote speaker for 14 years. And right. Most keynote speakers, we chase dates. And, you know, you can make a lot of money, but it's still stressful because you're chasing dates. So as a business guy, I was like, my wife and I, who's my business partner, we went to the National Speakers Association last year intentionally trying to find some new business units that we can develop that can create some residual income, build some equity, and really grow a real business. And so one of the things we decided to do was to build a coaching program. And so within a year, we have about 130 professionals in our coaching program for entrepreneurs. We just launched a new one for speakers. And the amazing thing is that I love coaching. I mean, you know, so all of a sudden that gift of motivation that I've been able to do for 14 years is now kind of evolved, where in my free time, now I coach. I was on Skype all day yesterday coaching entrepreneurs and speakers all day. I had a guy in London, you know, that I coached yesterday. And so I want to be a great coach, you know, and so to answer your question, we pay attention. And, you know, I lost my dad about 10 years ago, one of the most painful things that I've ever experienced. But my father always would say that 95% of learning is done through listening and observation. And so I always pay attention. I always observe. And since I pay attention and observe, I've been able to really get on this fast track in the speaking business. And now our coaching business is starting to fast track merely because we pay attention. So I want to challenge everybody listening to this program. Are you paying attention to your industry? Do you really see what's going on in your industry? And the key is, don't meet me where the industry is, beat me where the industry is. And that's the key to innovation and really staying relevant in your industry.
This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Walter Bond. Listen and observe. Walter, we're going to be back after this break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your entry into the NBA, because that was a little different and probably something that people would like to see. How did you go from where you were to where you are today? Stick with us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. We're back with my guest, Walter Bond, who is a former NBA player, but a peak performance expert for the past two decades. He just recently was inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame, and not only is an incredible keynote speaker, hired by folks like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Accenture. He's spoken in the United States, Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, Europe, Hilton, Medtronic, UPS Store, you name it. Boy, I tell you what, Walter, it's an impressive list. But you also do executive coaching. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think is really interesting for someone who's been in the NBA. But I've heard you say before that it wasn't as if when you were in college playing basketball, people looked at you and said, man, that guy is NBA. So tell us about the past.
You know, it's a powerful story, and it's in my book, All But Stink. You know, it's a great story. And I'll kind of give you the cliff notes because I don't want to ruin the suspense if people read my book. But in high school, I went to my father's high school. So my father was the principal of my high school. So as you can imagine, I was the star of the school. I mean, I was the star of the baseball team, star of the basketball team. I was president of the journalism club. I was voted most likely to succeed. All the little girls thought I was cute, you know. So, you know, like most athletes, you know, at the Division I level, you know, you were a star where you came from. You know, right. I don't care if you were a big city, small town. When you get a chance to go and play Big Ten basketball or SEC football, you have been conditioned for years that you are special and you are a star. And unfortunately, when I got to college, you have to recalibrate, you know. So there's a new jockeying for position, and everyone doesn't get to be a star like they were in high school. And that can be devastating. And for me, my freshman year was very humbling. I did not play a lick. It was the first time in my life I sat on a bench. And it took a while for me to really embrace that I was in a totally different environment, totally different situation. And in real time, I am no longer a star. I am not the guy, right? And so right. I remember games where we'd be losing the game and the coach would look down the bench, you know, to try and put somebody in the game to make a difference. And he would look at me and basically talk himself out of it and say, never mind.
You know? that's like, rough.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was painful. It was emotional that I'm not special anymore. And I never forget, at the end of that season, we had our exit meetings with the coach. And I sat down with the coach, and this is a true story. I asked the coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? And he looks puzzled. And he answers, like, son, you don't play for me. You know? And my statement really started a revolution in my life. And I made a commitment to him that next season, I'm going to come back somebody different. When you see me next season, I'm not going to be the same ball player. And in sports, we compete for 7 months, but then we get 5 months off. It's called our off season. Right. And my commitment was to really work in my off season because I'm not going to stay on this bench. And he looked me in the eye and he was like, son, you can't run, you can't jump, you can't dribble, you can't shoot, and you can't rebound, son. Not that I couldn't, but relative to being an NBA player, I couldn't. I wasn't good enough. And it was a humbling conversation. I already knew because I went to practice every day. I was not disillusioned by the other guys who are better than me. But I made a commitment in my offseason to get bigger, to get stronger, to get faster. And in essence, Chuck, when you were in prison, that was the best time of your life because that was your offseason.
Right.
You know, you reinvented you. And your whole goal was that when I get out, I'm going to become somebody different.
Right.
And when I got out of the prison of the bench that next season, I came back somebody different. That year, I was voted most improved player. I still didn't start. I came off the bench, but I was considered the top six man in the country. There was nobody in America better than me coming off the bench. And there's another business lesson in there. I was able to carve out a niche. Right. And so by coming right. You know, the top six men in the country, although I still kind of resented coming off the bench because I wanted to start, but I carved out a niche, and there's very few people that can be impactful in a short amount of time. But think about a keynote speaker. You got 1 hour to make an impact. So all of that experience sitting on the bench, coming off the bench, really was conditioning me and preparing me to have a catalyst type of impact in a short amount of time. And that's why I'm a Hall of Fame speaker, because 60 minutes goes fast, but I've been able to figure out how to have a huge impact on my audience in a relatively short amount of time.
You know, Walter, one of the things that I've never thought of it this way, but you said something that really, really caught me. Actually, two things in what you just were talking about. Number one is you said, what did I do in the off season? And, you know, to me, that's a powerful question. Here on Straight Talk Radio, a lot of times we will take a subject and we'll hit it pretty hard because people that go from day to day or week to week or year to year that need to think decade to decade have to decide, what am I going to do in my downtime? What am I going to do in the off season? Am I going to get better? To me, it's, am I a victim or am I a victor? Now, you could have chosen to say, well, you know, well, I was pretty good in high school. I'm okay in college. I mean, I'm going to get my college scholarship and I'm going to work my way through it. But, you know, gosh, look at all these other people. And you could self-talk yourself into being just a victim and never have made it. Or you could transform yourself and become a victor, which is what you did.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it happens again in sports all the time. And most athletes recalibrate their dreams and they recalibrate their vision and they justify, you know, where they are. And professionals do it too. Like, you know what? I really wanted to be a CEO, but you know what? I'm a VP. So, you know, that's not bad. Everybody can't be a CEO and blah, 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 blah. And you can talk yourself out of your vision. You can talk yourself out of your desire. You know, a lot of women would love to get back in shape and reclaim that sexy body, you know, they had before they had kids, or, you know, the moment they start looking like mom and they accept it. Like, I am 40, 45. And the reality, those of us who persevere, those of us who kind of make it to that pinnacle, you know, they don't recalibrate their dreams. And it's painful. It's challenging. I mean, it can rock the very essence of who you are. But I want to encourage people to go for it. And in my acceptance speech, you know, there's two slogans my parents had growing up. And my mother would always ask company who came to the house, what you know good? You know, what you know good? I don't, you know, think about the time period. I'm a Chicago guy. And in the 60s, a lot of African-Americans migrated from the South to the North for a better life. And that was my mom and dad. They left Tennessee and Kentucky. And a lot of their friends left the South and came North. So our house was a little bit of a respite. You know, people would always come by and visit. And times were hard back then for African-Americans. But my mother would always ask them, what you know good? In other words, I don't want to hear your sob story. I don't want to sit here and let you feel sorry for yourself and throw a pity party. What you know good? And so I grew up in a home that we always were positive. We always saw the glasses half full. And my father would always tell us to go for it. You know, his motto was, look, I didn't come from the South as a sharecropper. Bust my butt so that I can become a high school principal for you to play it safe. My father was, go for it, man, go for it. So you got a mom saying, what you know good, and you got a dad saying, go for it, what you know good, go for it. So that's how I was conditioned. That's how I've been built and wired, you know, through my parenting. And so as a result, I'm always positive and I always go for it. And so when I saw myself on the bench, I was like, you know what? I still want to go for it. And my senior year, you know, I was a preseason All Big Ten selection. And even though I never started, I gained the respect of the conference and everybody knew that I could do more if I got a bigger role. And then I broke my foot twice my senior year. Oh, and that was like, you know, and again, go for it. And so my college basketball coach, Clem Haskins, I love him to death. He's the one who recommended that I become a motivational speaker. When I left college. And ironically, later he admitted to me that he knew that I was pursuing the NBA and he wanted to protect me from disappointment because he didn't think I was good enough. And so he was like, son, you should be a motivational speaker. You should be a motivational speaker. And eventually I made it to the NBA and he was man enough to say, Walter, you proved me wrong. You know, I didn't think that you had it. I didn't think you were good enough. But every year, I was voted most improved player, but I give him credit. It was his idea for me to be a motivational speaker. He was going to make it to DC to be a part of the celebration, but he has a bad hip. He can barely walk and it hurt him not to be able to be there. But I credit my college coach, Clem Haskins. And this is another business lesson. He saw something in me that I couldn't see myself. And business leaders, unfortunately, really think it's their job to tell people what's wrong with them. Come into my office. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. Come into my office and let me coach you up on what you, instead of saying, you know what, let me tell you what's right with you. And so my coach saw a gift in me that I didn't even see myself at that time. And I'm an award-winning Hall of Fame speaker. And I didn't even realize the gift laid on the inside of me. I needed my leader to identify what I possessed. And so leaders, I want you guys to hear me that our job is not to tell people what's wrong with them all the time. Our number one job is to tell people what's wrong with them, what's right with them, and to give them hope that they can live their dreams. They can get to that proverbial next level, but we got to focus on what's right with us and not what's wrong with us.
Walter, we've got just about a minute before the break, and I want to ask you a quick question. You were on the bench the first year. You decided I'm going to be the most improved. You used that off time. But when you came back the second year, and we've got a minute left, did the coach see the difference and then coach you to be able to play more? Or did you still feel like you kind of had to fight that preconceived notion?
Well, when I came back after my freshman year, you know, obviously in the offseason, you know, we have strength and conditioning coaches. We had a summer league. They knew that I had committed myself to getting better. And the thing about coaches, you can't fool them, right? You know, and we do it all the time in corporate America. We have that year review, right? And so a good leader is going to be able to tell you what you do right, but they're also going to give you ideas on how you can improve. Every idea that he gave me to improve after my freshman year, I improved in that area. So when you come back to training camp the next year and you got more muscles, you look leaner. I think I lost like 15 pounds. You know, my jump shot was better. I was quicker. I was more athletic. It was obvious to the entire coaching staff and my teammates that I got better. So if you put the work in, you're going to get better. And the biggest compliment I get from my speakers bureaus and other speakers were like, Walter, we heard you speak last year and you were good. But oh, my God, you were that much better this year. And I didn't think you could get better. And so one of the things that I'm consumed by is my offseason. And a professional is always getting better. Right now it's football season. You know what? Just because New England won the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, you know, is trying to figure out how can I get better.
Gotcha.
How can I get better? Russell Wilson, how can I get better?
This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Walter Bond, former NBA player and a two-decade careered speaker who speaks on peak performance and was inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. We'll be back after this message. And this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Walter Bond, and we've been talking about this incredible career that you've had. You said, I think the guy's name was Clem Haskins. Is that right, Walter?
Yes.
Okay. Clem saw something in you. He could see the future. He got to look in the crystal ball, and while your passion was playing in the NBA, which, by the way, you got to do for, I think, the Dallas Mavericks, Utah Jazz, Detroit Pistons, but in addition to that, you also were able to fulfill what he saw in you. But I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you're okay with this, I do a lot of work in the arena of making ethical choices, because every choice we make has a consequence. You made a choice to transform your off season, so to speak, and to become a better player, and each year to become a better speaker. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what sports figures are facing today, because it seems like when I'm dealing with sportsethics.com that there is always something every week that's popping up where someone, because of, I guess, intense pressure, is making a decision that really is dramatically impacting their career. So is there more pressure today, or is it just that we're in a place where everybody knows more about what's happening today?
Well, you know, my answer probably will shock you. And if anyone's heard me speak live, sometimes I make reference to it. I think the biggest shift that is happening in today's sport is really happening at the youth level, right? And so our local baseball team, our local hockey team, AAU, sports at the youth level, in my mind, has totally missed the mark. And hopefully this interview can start a revolution. When I grew up playing sports, it was all about sportsmanship, right? It wasn't about uncovering the next LeBron James or the next Michael Jordan. It was all about sportsmanship. It was like, look, if we win or if we lose, we're going to shake hands and we're going to behave accordingly, because parents really at that time had their priorities straight. I want my kid to play baseball, for example, which was a big part of my life. I was named after my uncle who played Major League Baseball. So baseball is a big part of my life. And the whole goal was, whether you win or lose, we're going to shake hands with the other team. You know, we're not going to spit in our hand and shake because we're sore losers. So growing up, it was all about sportsmanship, right? And the kids who were really, really good, you know, everybody knew they were good, you know, and it was just a natural gift that they had. If you look at youth sports today, parents have totally lost sportsmanship. Parents are about winning. Parents are complaining about playing time. Parents are harassing coaches. I know parents who get kicked out of the gym because they're harassing the referee. Now, if I'm going to be a parent and model for my children, if I'm yelling at a referee, I'm giving my kids permission to yell at the refs and to be sports. And if I'm calling the coach an idiot in the car on the way home, I'm empowering my kid to think my coach, my leader, is an idiot, and therefore I can rebel against authority. You know what? My whole life, I never heard my dad criticize one coach. Anytime I was in a situation, he always saw an opportunity to have a teachable moment with me, to make sure that I was a person of integrity, a person of character, a person of accountability. And I will never forget, you know, one day I had my son in the car who's very competitive, and he lost a game, and he's just yelling in the car and angry and upset and start criticizing his teammates right in the car. And I was like, whoa, just a minute. Now, I know you're upset. I know you lost, but I saw you make some turnovers. I saw you miss some shots. I saw you let your guy score. So I understand and appreciate your competitive nature, but don't focus on your teammates. Focus on you and what you can do to get better. And all of a sudden, the anger leaves. You know, all of a sudden, he calms down. And my whole goal was to make my son accountable for his behavior and how he behaves. Instead of getting angry at your teammate, encourage your teammate. Because as far as I'm concerned, we've seen it in sports. A superstar, if you're that good, you make your other guys better. LeBron makes his teammates better. Magic Johnson made his teammates better. Larry Bird made his teammates better. So if you're really that good to think you can criticize your teammates, why don't you be the true superstar you think you are and make your teammates better? And so parents, you know, I think have really just kind of got caught up. There's a lot of money at stake in the NBA. You can go right out of high school. And parents have just kind of lost it to me. And I think that when you don't install the integrity or the sportsmanship or the character of fair play at a young age, forget about it in high school and college, because the stakes are even higher. So for me, Chuck, I think the mistake is really being made at the youth level. And if we can fix the youth level and get back to old school integrity and character and winning and being good sports, I think that it will eventually impact the professional levels.
You know, that's a powerful statement, and I don't disagree with that. Today, the challenge seems to be, not only do you have that at the youth level, but everything happens faster. And now, you know, everybody has their opinions, but I do think it's kind of interesting. Some players, I'll stick with the NBA, but some players seem to be really good players, but somehow they seem to have their head on. They don't get caught up in the Twitter feeds, the stupidity of the moment, the what happens at 3 a.m. in the club. I mean, you know, I look at Tim Duncan and I see, you know, a great basketball player, but he's quiet. It's just, you know, he's a great player, does a wonderful job, but you don't hear scuttle. And even LeBron James, in comparison to a lot of his contemporaries, you know, he goes and plays basketball. He may not be happy all the time, and he may lose some games from time to time, but you don't tend to hear about them making stupid, unethical choices. It's like some people have their head screwed on right, and others seem to be all about the instant moment instead of thinking about the longer term. Well, what will this do to my career?
Well, you know, you nailed it on the head, Chuck. LeBron James gets it. You know, I mean, he's a guy who came out of high school, you know, didn't have the best background. I don't even think he has a strong relationship with his dad. Her mother, you know, has kind of been in more trouble than him, you know. Right. But LeBron James gets it. I mean, he gets the NBA. He gets the platform. He gets the opportunity. He gets what's going on. And he's mature. And was he just blessed with that and just getting it at a young age? Did the fact that he came from some instability forced him to mature early? Probably. But LeBron is smart and he gets it. And so when you see a lot of NBA players, you know, blasting off their fingers with fireworks, I'm like, really? You see players, you know, just carelessly fathering 9 or 10 kids. I mean, that's expensive, right? And so everybody doesn't get it. And it's so easy to get caught up in the moment. And the one dangerous thing about sports that I never dealt with, I came from a solid family. My parents were not caught up. I never forget when I got my first NBA check, my parents came to town to watch my first NBA game. We go out to dinner and I put down my credit card and, you know, I'm big time now. I'm going to pay for dinner. You know, my dad said, man, what are you doing? You put that credit card up. I'm still dad. And so my parents never needed money. My parents didn't put financial pressure on me. And my parents didn't even let our family harass me for tickets. You know, my dad's attitude was like, look, don't harass him for tickets. You need tickets, you call me. And so my parents protected me, you know, and a lot of athletes, unfortunately, you know, a lot of these guys are the father of the house at 16. Right. And the family gets excited. And if they're not careful, they really distract the athlete where he's not able to maximize his opportunity. You know, and I've seen I speak to the NBA rookies almost every year. I'm going to be with them in New Jersey August 13th. And it's awesome because I get to, you know, take my hair off, if you will. And I'm real with these guys.
Right.
And I bring a totally different perspective that, yes, they want to hear from Michael Jordan and they want to hear from LeBron, the superstars. But I'm a featured speaker because I bring a whole nother approach to the game.
Right.
And I tell these guys, being a baller, as people say, is a mentality. Michael Jordan is a baller. In other words, when he stopped playing ball, he kept operating like a successful person, and now he's a billionaire. So to me, being a good basketball player is about being successful in life. And if you're able to get to the NBA, with as difficult as it is in a global industry, you already understand what it means to be successful. And so I really try and teach these athletes that don't get caught up in this 8-year career, this 10-year career, because it's going to go like that. But when you're done playing ball, that's when I want to be there for you. And I tell athletes, don't even call me now. Call me when your career is over. Because one, you're going to hear me and listen. And two, that's when I can really come in and help you reinvent yourself and take everything you learned through your career, your journey, and transition into becoming a successful person with life.
You know, Walter, you have a best-selling book, and I'm going to read the title. I want everybody to hear this. The nice part about this is also on YouTube, so, you know, people can actually see it. But the title of the book is All Butts Stink, which I think is classic. How to Live Your Best Life and Eliminate Excuses. And, you know, what you just said, especially from the sports perspective, is so true. The people who are highly successful in sports – understand it is a business. You're there performing just like any performer. You have a time frame in which your body is going to allow that to work, but you're given such power to understand how to use the business. Like you said at the beginning of this show, you know, watching the game films, so to speak, so that you understand how to be the best. So in your world, before we go to our last break, I really want to promote the idea of your book, All But Stink. How do you live your best life and eliminate excuses? Because if you have excuses, you are going to put yourself into that victim world and not into the victor world. And I think you know, after your NBA career, there's a whole lot more life ahead than you had while you were playing basketball in the NBA.
You know, and remember this, Chuck, without accountability, it's impossible for a person to improve. It's impossible for us to really take control of our life and make the changes we need to make until we are accountable. Unfortunately, accountability is something that is not innate to our nature. Even a little kid, you know, when something's broken in the house, mom and dad ask, hey, who broke this? Did you break it? The kid almost instinctively says, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And kids will lie just to get out of trouble because sometimes the weight of accountability is too much. But if you think about the weight room, why do we lift weights? we lift weights to get stronger, right? And all you do when you lift weights, you basically tear down your muscle. And when these muscles heal, they come back stronger. So in my mind, being accountable is a way for us to become stronger individuals. You know, if you got divorced, stop blaming your spouse. You know, you got to take some responsibility, you know, and, you know, I deal with people who've been divorced two or three times. And I tell them, like, look, you're the common denominator. Right? All right. Three of them are idiots, but you're not. Right. So at some point, we all have to own our situation. We all have to take some accountability steps. And my book, All But Stink, cuts right to the chase. OK, stop blaming your mom and dad and how you grew up. Stop blaming your boss because your boss was an idiot. I want you to take every excuse out of your vocabulary. And when I work with my coaching clients, when I can get them to diffuse their elaborate defense mechanisms and really get down to the truth, that's when we begin to make transformation, you know, really become a reality. Because we all want to live the dream. We all want to get to that proverbial next level. And the only way we can do it is to eliminate the word but out of our vocabulary and become accountable.
You know, Walter, I appreciate that. We're going to go to break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Walter Bond and talk about the transformation from player in the NBA to executive coach today. We'll be back in just a moment. And we are back with Walter Bond here on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher, and I am so pleased to have Walter with us. Look, you know, it's wonderful from my perspective to have the opportunity to carry on a conversation with someone who is a member of the Speakers Hall of Fame, but more importantly, has really made a transformative difference in people's lives. Walter is a former NBA player, but that's just a small part of his life. For the past 20 years, he has been a peak performance speaker, literally traveled the world. But I said in the last segment going into this one, we've gone from player to coach. And so, Walter, talk with me a little bit about, because I know you do, I know you do personal coaching, but you also have, I think, what you call peak performers huddle. So talk a little bit about what you're finding today when people say, hey, you know, Walter, I want to go to the next level. How do I make that happen?
You know, through coaching. And as I talked earlier, I had great coaches in college. You know, my college basketball coach was fantastic. And he had the second biggest impact on my life, second only to my father, right? And so in sports, I had coaching. And so when I got into the speaking business, I sought out the top speakers and they coached me. They'd been there, they'd done that. And so coaching is something that is the fastest growing business segment. And I think something like 93% of CEOs have executive coaches. And so now other professionals are starting to realize, like, wow, okay, coaches are very important. You know, you look at a guy like Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods is still one of the best golfers ever. He's kind of hit some tough times. He's kind of lost some focus. He's not the Tiger Woods that we enjoyed for a long, long time. And if you really think about it, if you look at Tiger Woods' life at a micro level, I mean, I think when his father passed away, it almost seems like he lost something there. And his father right. was a close confidant. He was a coach. And as long as his dad was there, that kid was on the verge of becoming the best golfer ever, no question about it, right?
Right.
So support is so critical. And Tiger has fired some coaches. And currently, I don't even know if he has a coach right now. So bottom line, I've been successful because of my support network. And I want to encourage everyone who's listening today that you can invest in our coaching program. It's WalterBondCoaching.com. And if it's not me, go find a coach, because I'm here to tell you we all need coaches to hold us accountable, see things inside of us that we can't see ourselves, but hold us to a standard of where we want to be. You know, I told my coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? It was a question. And he right. taught me. And even though he didn't believe I was good enough, he still taught me, and I executed, and my whole program that we talk about now is think, execute, dominate. Think, execute, dominate. I did it in sports. Now in business, I'm thinking, I'm executing, and I'm dominating. And so in our coaching program, we teach our clients to think, execute where most people drop the ball. Very few people actually execute. If you want to lose weight, you're not going to kick out of people. You know, someone loses 30 pounds and people want to, well, what did you do? You know, they all work. You know, Jenny Craig, Atkins diet, you know, P90X. It doesn't matter what you use. The key is to execute. So the biggest movement we make with our coaching clients is that we are sticklers for executing. I am called in my company CEO, Chief Execution Officer. My job is to make sure we execute. And if I can make sure we execute, that's how you have success. So our coaching program is simple. It's basic, but it is powerful. So for all of our clients and anybody that's listening today, if you think, if you execute, you will dominate.
Walter, I got a question for you. From a coaching perspective, this is kind of maybe a little bit left to center, but of all of the people that you've had the opportunity to work with, how many of them do you find are really committed to completing the program versus coming in? I guess it's like the diet, coming in and saying, man, I really want to lose weight. But halfway through, they don't have the will to execute. And you find that you're like, you know, Chuck, dude, you're not cutting it. I got to cut you.
Well, you know, we might need to reconvene this time next year. Because my coaching program is new. It's a year old.
Okay.
So right now, we're seeing progress. Right now, everybody's on their best behavior. I had a coaching client yesterday, young lady from Iowa. I mean, she cried the whole interview. It was my first kind of introductory. And she was just sad. You know, she was just disappointed. She's 54 and she's frustrated with her life. And I think she's finally realized that she did it to herself. And I think that's what really made her sad, that for 54 years, she used excuses. She blamed her parents. She blamed her city. She was angry. And she finally has been able to peel back all of the onion layers and really get down to what really happened for 54 years. For 54 years, she was not accountable. For 54 years, she made excuses. So right now, it's almost like she's emotionally naked, and it's scary for her. Right. And so the good thing, if I can keep her right here, and we had a great session yesterday, she's in a perfect place of accountability to make some exponential moves, some exponential growths. So I think the long story short, we all have to be transparent and we all have to become honest and emotionally naked in order to make some moves as professionals.
You have a statement on your website. It says, don't slow your climb to greatness. And personally, Walter, I think that is incredibly powerful. It is interesting. I'm a little older than the lady that you were talking about. And I understand in life, and I think you do as well, how easy it is from time to time to get caught up in the moment and to make some really dumb, stupid choices. And it is true that every choice we make in life has a consequence. Some consequences suck. You know, they're just not pleasant.
Yeah.
And others are incredibly powerful. And, you know, the thing that really strikes me, and I have to say to the folks listening before we end this show, take the action to get the help that you need. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a very positive way. You know, if I'm standing in the base of a forest and somebody says, what's the tallest tree? And I look up, I can't see it because I don't have the perspective. But a Walter Bond, I'm picking on you a little bit, but a Walter Bond has a helicopter and you can fly over and you can see things that other people can't. And that's what the coach is able to bring to the table. You can help someone see, well, which is the tallest tree? How do I find it? And how am I going to climb that thing so my perspective is different? Now, tell me once again, how do people connect with you so that they can tap into your coaching?
Well, we have two different websites. Our basic website is for our speaking business. That's where we kind of won the awards. And that's just simply walterbond.com, just like James Bond, walterbond.com. Our coaching program has a totally different dedicated website. and that's simply WalterBondCoaching.com. We have what we call peak performance huddles. We have them for entrepreneurs, and we also just launched a new one for speakers. So if you want to learn how to be a Hall of Fame speaker, or at least learn what we did to grow our speaking business, it's a perfect huddle for you. So either WalterBond.com if you want to book me to speak, or WalterBondCoaching.com if you want to be coached by yours truly.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. It has been my honor, Walter. It has absolutely been my honor to have you as a guest on the show, to have a Hall of Fame speaker just inducted, just rocks, but also to be able to have someone that can really make it transparent and clear and bring it straight to the table. That's what Straight Talk Radio is about. So thank you so much. I want to encourage those of you that are listening or seeing this on the podcast to visit Walter's sites, WalterBond.com or WalterBondCoaching.com, and find out the impact that can make for you. Once again, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and stay tuned next week. And remember, every choice we make in life has a consequence. Make empowering choices for yourself.
Thank you, Chuck.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.